Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is a guest that I have been excitingly awaiting, Ms. Katie Wyatt. Katie, thank you for joining us.
Adam, we're back together.
Yes, yes. Let us begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for this day and all of your blessings. Renew in us all of the gifts of our baptism. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may not be aware of this, but Katie Wyatt is famous for a show that she was on with some really cool priest. I can't remember his name. But...
Well, he wasn't really the draw, so...
He got his start in radio, in the radio business through that. Now, Katie, usually on this show, Conversations on Discipleship, as we begin with a guest, we like to hear your story, you know, so how you encountered Christ. And, you know, everyone's story is a little different. Some of them may, at least from one's own perspective, seem boring. But I think in the end, every story, there's something beautiful and exciting about it because it's Christ who writes the story. So as we start off, you know, how did you come to know Christ?
I think that I knew Christ in the womb because my parents are beautiful, prayerful, devout Catholic people, and I know they were praying for me from the moment of my conception, probably before that. And I was baptized, I think, 2 weeks after I was born. I mean, just immediately my journey of faith began. And, you know, going to Mass was non-negotiable in our family. We'd be traveling and have to find a church somewhere. This was pre-internet, you know, so I don't even know how my parents did it now that I think about it. There was no, like, masstimes.com or whatever. But, you know, my dad would come home sometimes and say, everybody get in the car. We're going to go up and pay a visit. That's how we said it. And we would all pile in the car. We'd go up and sit in front of the tabernacle, or everybody get in the car. Everyone in this house needs to go to confession. Yeah. So it was just a perpetual journey. It has been a perpetual journey of faith. And for me, and this isn't the same experience for all of my siblings. There are five of us. We were all raised exactly the same. For me, my Catholic identity is super comfortable for me. It's who I am. I've never struggled with, you know, how can I be Catholic because of this or that. And when I say it's super comfortable, I don't mean it's I can hide behind it. It's, you know, it's safe. I just mean it's my identity. I'm very, very comfortable being Catholic. And so my encounter with Jesus Christ has been a perpetual encounter through spiritual highs and spiritual lows. You know, the fact that I can pray in earnest for something, and if it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. But there's such comfort in that for me, you know, that there's a God who loves me so much and knows me so well. I mean, sometimes really I skip petitions when I pray. I just do praise and thanksgiving and confession because I'm like, Lord, you already know the desires of my heart. You already know whether or not they're aligned with your will. So let's just move on. So it's been a beautiful, journey. I'm so grateful for my journey. There have been times, you know, when you go away to college and your professors are on a mission to destroy your faith and make you an atheist. And there are times when I've had to stop and say, wait, I don't even know why I believe what I believe. But then my graduate program, my master's in religious education, I'm not sure if the intention was to tear down your faith so you could rebuild it. But all through my graduate program, 3.5 years, that's what I told myself the program was designed to do, tear down my faith.
What was the program?
It was the Loyola Institute of Ministry.
Yeah, that exists to destroy faith.
Okay,
yeah.
But the Holy Spirit prompted me throughout all 3.5 years. I was telling myself, whether in denial or not, the design of this program is to destroy my faith so I can rebuild it and be stronger. And guess what? That's what I did. So whether that was the intention or not, that was the Holy Spirit's intention for me.
He brings good even out of evil.
Yeah.
Even out of the evil of Limex.
You know what? I don't think it was evil having gone through it, but it sure was. You know what? If you're solid in your faith and you know what you believe and you want to seek truth, it's like reading Harry Potter, right? Like, I just reread Harry Potter for probably the 4th time during coronavirus. And in the 7th book, the theological themes in that book are profound. Now, I know there are Christians who say, you can't read that. You can't read that evil. You can't invite that in. You can't, you know, but this is such a tangent. But the point is, like, if Christ is the center of your life and you are rooted and you can, I mean,
just to remind everyone, you're listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Katie Wyatt, who doesn't miss a beat. You know, I don't have to do much talking. She'll do it all for us. No, this is great. This is precisely why you're here, so I don't have to work so much.
Beautiful. I'm happy to help.
Let me ask a few little nuts and bolts.
Okay.
So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Oxford, Ohio.
Okay, so Miami University
there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go to Catholic schools or public schools?
Nope, I went to public schools. My dad taught in the public high school, so.
And then where did you go to university
at? Otterbein in Westerville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been in a secular environment as a practicing Catholic throughout your whole life, which is really until I went into seminary, I was mostly in a secular environment, you know, as a Catholic.
And it was fine to be there, wasn't it?
In that era.
It was. Yeah.
And I wonder if that experience is, you know, as you just were talking about Harry Potter, which, you know, I think we do need to kind of flesh out that whole theme, because, you know, faithful Catholics, disciples living in the secular world, we have to have a relationship with the world. You know, reluctantly. And there are different models, and this is, I think, at the heart of the new evangelization and why there are different methods, is that there are different approaches in our relationship with the secular world as disciples. You know, we might be more inclined to engage it and to live among secular people and work among secular people, or, you know, some people may be distrustful of themselves or distrustful of evil powers or distrustful even of the secular realm, want to withdraw. And, you know, to each their own, I would say, but it seems to me you are comfortable within that secular realm.
I am comfortable. You know, as we record this, today is the feast of Saint Ephrem, is that right? Who basically wrote parody songs. He put... what am I trying to say? He put lyrics to modern day hymns.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're going to talk about my experience in youth ministry here in a little bit, but I did that for years. Like, I would find the song of the week, you know, the most popular song, and rewrite it and parody it and put Christ as the theme of it. And it's fun to do. I love to find Christ in all things. I know there are limits. I know there are things that don't even go there because Christ is not there and you're going to get in trouble. But I am super comfortable in that realm.
And has that been pretty much all of your life? Like back when you were in college and in public school?
Yeah, I think back to your point about that our experience in secular schools and public schools helped make me more comfortable there.
During that time, did you have the experience of wrestling with the truths of the faith? You know, so certainly, although Oxford's probably a little more Catholic than, say, you know, Waverly or, you know, some other areas, you know, were you kind of tested in the faith any?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And I was not, because I think because I was so solid in my faith and so sure of my faith, I was more a leader among my peers in that regard. I would say most of my friends weren't Catholic, were intermittent churchgoers, they were from wonderful families, and they had, I'm not judging anyone's faith in any way, but my family was the core of our family. So I was comfortable there and comfortable leading my friends in that direction. So it changed a little bit in college because it's just such a different world, but not dramatically. I mean, I went to Otterbein, and I found the Catholic kids at school, and we walked to St. Paul every Sunday for Mass, you know. So I know that I've been tremendously blessed in that regard to not have that mm-hmm. pushback or discomfort. But also I think part of it is just because, you know, I resonate. Peter, St. Peter, he's my guy, and everything out of his mouth I can relate to, from his impetuousness all the way up to his strongest faith. And, you know, when he says, "Where else would I go, Lord? You alone have the words of everlasting life." That I hear that line nearly every day, you know, like, yeah, this is who I am. This is who you are, Jesus. So I don't know where else I would go. So.
Well, on that note, this has been Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Katie Wyatt. Thank you, Katie.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And until next time, peace and all good.